Tonight's talk is on confidence and determination, which has been a very important pairing of attitudes in my life. I seem to have been born with an abundance, perhaps an oversupply, of determination. It has never been a problem for me, except when I had too much for other people's liking. I vividly remember one night in June, many years ago, when my partner kept asking me to stop gardening and come to dinner while the light faded into nighttime, about 9 o'clock. I have undertaken many things with great determination. Political causes since the age of 13, and after 17, a series of jobs. I am still committed to all of the causes that I supported throughout my life, and I will always be willing to support them, whether or not I'm confident that they'll succeed. The fact that after 35 years of my working for it, same-sex marriage actually became the national law still astonishes me. We did it! We stopped the Vietnam War, too. Political action can work. Now let's make America sane again. For me, jobs were another matter. My commitment to them was very conditional. I took my jobs because I had to, in order to support myself. I was determined to do them well, in order to get paid, not for the sake of the work itself. Also, my ego wanted to be good at what I did. As a lawyer, I really enjoyed winning, almost as much as I enjoyed the paycheck. My determination was fueled by both craving for financial security and ego satisfaction, which was not really healthy. When I worked late into the night as a lawyer, or before that as a travel agent, it was fueled by my fear of missing a deadline or not getting the task done right. In either case, there would have been really nasty repercussions. I always went home feeling tense, no matter how well the late night work finally went. No matter how much I liked a job and the money, I was never confident that it was the right thing for me to be doing. Both confidence and determination are important to the Dharma. Determination, as you may well know, is one of the perfections, the characteristics that lead to Buddhahood. Confidence, which is often called faith, is the antidote to the fifth and potentially most destructive hindrance to our practice and our lives, doubt. It's my experience, both in my practice and in living in this world, that these two states of mind need each other. In order to stay helpful without veering off into unhealthy territory. The clearest connection between these mind states that I found in early Buddhist literature is by Taliputta Thera, a poet and theatrical producer who was very successful and famous in Buddha's day, who decided that what he really should be doing with his life was become a monk in Buddha's Sangha. As the suttas say in fairly short order, he became enlightened, an arahant, and he composed a lot of Buddhist texts that were collected and translated in 1996 by Bhikkhu Kantapalo, and they're available on the Access to Insight website. In verse 44 on determination, Taliputta begins by saying that being firm in your aim or resolve is, quote, the only way to achieve anything in the Dhamma. Wavering doubts, half-hearted practice, lack of confidence in the Triple Gem, lack of confidence in one's teacher, all make for indecisiveness and getting nowhere. People like to see progress in their Dhamma practice, but this will never be seen without determination and firmness of mind, which prevents one being deflected onto other matters. So I'm not the only practitioner to observe that doubt undermines determination. Only with confidence in the Buddha, the Dharma, the Sangha, and one's own teachers can we be steadfast enough in our practice to become free of our cravings, aversions, and delusions. In other words, free from dukkha or internal suffering. Let's just take a minute and unpack the three gems or refuges, just so we're clear. The Buddha is the historical figure who achieved full enlightenment and then taught it as widely as possible. But it's also our own capacity to be liberated from internal suffering. The Dharma is what the Buddha taught, together with the teachings by 2,500 years of the writings of advanced practitioners. The Sangha is all those who follow the Buddha's Dharma, who support us through their practice, and in its most simple form, through your being here, present with the rest of us tonight, as we practice together. And also, before any misunderstanding gets too well established, let me clarify that progress in Dharma practice is not manifested in being able to concentrate quickly and continuously. That's a very common misunderstanding, and I've seen it lead people into wasting time, getting frustrated, and heading down a dead end. It isn't our meditation that gets better, so much as our understanding of and comfort with life, our moment-to-moment internal experience becoming increasingly free of dukkha. Like Talaputta, I realized that the best thing I could do with my life was follow the Dharma. But for decades, that was just not a viable option for me. A long time before I was diagnosed with a genetic immune deficiency, I knew I wasn't healthy enough to thrive or possibly even survive in the monastic life, which at that time was only in Asia. Fortunately, Buddhism came to California around the same time I did, and Spirit Rock built a retreat center that would support my needs shortly after I became disabled with a neurological disease. Now, finally, I had the time and the means to immerse myself in practice. By the time I started going to 5, 10, and 30-day retreats, I had been sitting daily for several years. My confidence in my practice was built with what Sharon Salzberg says are the supports of faith, the inspiration to try it, then actually doing it, and getting results that prove the practice does produce what teachers have said it will. This faith or confidence doesn't depend on a leap of faith, but it rests on solid evidence grounded in my direct experience that it works. Mine has been a real confidence that what I was doing was the right thing, because I had seen it work in many ways over and over. It eased my neurological pain, calmed my mind, and steadied my heart. And then, as I learned the Dharma, it made sense to me. Once I had seen what practice could do, I started to really understand what the Buddha and the other teachers over the centuries were saying. I still have confidence that this is what I should be doing. Another area in which the suttas mention confidence is with the jhanas. They are not some mystical experience, but a state of consciousness that happens at certain depths of concentration when we focus on a single, simple object, such as breathing in and out, or repeating metaphrases, etc., usually at a retreat. The jhanas have really important spiritual aspects, especially as you progress through them, which can happen if you continue concentrating. The suttas frequently say that one of the first benefits of jhana experience is that it gives people unshakable confidence in the Dharma and their practice. And that certainly has been my experience. As my practice continued to open deeper, my confidence became absolute. It isn't some kind of blind belief and devotion. It's based on firsthand empirical observation. I once thought I was joking when I told a group that I sat to meditate every day, whether I wanted to or not. I later realized that that could easily be misunderstood to mean that I had to drag myself unwilling to the cushion through the brute force of will. Sitting has always been a choice that I make freely. Sometimes I make that choice when I want to do something else. But it's like choosing between taking medicine that I need and eating chocolate. Of course I want the chocolate. But I understand on a very deep level the benefits of establishing mindfulness every day. That's just like now I have to do physical therapy every day, because when I skip it, it hurts. When I don't meditate daily, I get off balance, out of sorts. So my determination is fueled by confidence that practicing every day will make my life better than eating chocolate will. Determination is often called resolve or perseverance. Resolve can be something that occurs in the mind, like a decision. There's a joke in the 12-step fellowship that goes, three frogs sat on a log. One decided to jump in. How many frogs were left on the log? And the answer is two. No, three. Because that frog just decided to jump. Persistence is when the frog jumps in over and over. It's about persistent action. I personally like the word determination best because for me it contains both the mental elements that led to the resolve and actually performing it persistently enough to get the intended results. That's why I say that I have little problem with determination, because once I decide I'm going to do something, it gets done. And I will admit that more than one person has suggested that I'm downright stubborn. Maybe that's what the Buddha had in mind when he told the Venerable Sona in the Anguttara Sutta 6.55, in case you want to look it up, quote, over-aroused persistence leads to restlessness. Overly slack persistence leads to laziness. Thus, you should determine the right pitch for your persistence, end quote. So how do you determine the right pitch? I think that takes experience and confidence. Determination can be fueled by other things, as I learned in my jobs, where fear of failure or desire for money kept me working late hours. Anger can also lead to determination with sometimes violent results. Then there's pride. It can lead totally unfit people to run for president and then flail around in the job for years. Determination can consist of any mixture of these and other motives. Confidence can also be an alloy or a hybrid. I regularly check for this in the confidence that I have in my practice and usually find that it's fairly pure. But without determination, whether in practice or in other aspects of life, confidence too can lead us down fairly ugly roads. Without determination, Confidence can keep us from actually engaging in any endeavors or make us a dilettante, getting only moderately involved in things. Confidence without the determination can lead to delusion and let fantasy substitute for actually doing anything, as if thinking that we can do it is the same as having done it. Finding the pitch, the right mixture of confidence and determination, can be called an art. In every moment, we need to adjust the combination as if we're doing it for the first time. Do we have enough, but not too much of each? Are we ready now to practice? Our friend Taliputta reminds us that now is the time to practice. He says, wherever one is always in the present. That future time, when it will be easier to train one's mind, is an illusion. There is only one time to start, now. Otherwise, of course, this wandering mind will go on wandering where it wishes, from dukkha to more dukkha. Finding the pitch, the right measure of confidence and determination, isn't that hard to do if we seize the present moment to sit down, make that mental adjustment as well as we can in that moment, and proceed to meditate. Be sure to look back at the time before you began to practice and appreciate how your life has improved. Do this frequently because it gives us the faith and determination to continue to go deeper and therefore to suffer less. I'm confident you can. Thank you.